All right, welcome everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today we're going deep into a legal case, and I think you'll find it pretty fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. This one's got twists and turns and a valuable diamond at the center of it all. It's going to be good.
So we're talking about Zaretsky v. William Goldberg, Diamond Corp. Buckle up, because this one takes us into some core legal principles. You know, the UCC, property law, the whole shebang.
Yeah, and you know me. We're not just skimming the surface. We're diving deep into those legal concepts.
Exactly. And to make this deep dive even more insightful, you've sent over some excellent materials for us to really dig into.
You got it. Podcast guidance to help break down the complexities and a nice, concise case brief should give us all the info we need.
Awesome. So just to set the stage for our listeners, this case boils down to a dispute over who rightfully owns a diamond. A super valuable one.
Right on. And it gets even more intriguing because it involves consignment, a celebrity stylist, and this whole question of who can legally transfer ownership of goods, especially when things get, shall we say, a little messy.
It's not as simple as it might seem at first glance.
Not at all.
Okay, so let's dive into the specifics, you know, the actual story here. What happened? What were the facts that set this whole legal drama in motion?
All right, so picture this. It's 2003. And William Goldberg Diamond Corp, huge name in the diamond world, let's call them WGDC for short.
WGDC, got it.
WGDC consigns a very impressive 7.44 carat diamond to this guy, Derek Kahn.
Okay. Big diamond, big name dealer. I'm already intrigued.
But here's the catch. Kahn isn't your typical diamond merchant. He's a celebrity fashion stylist.
Really? A stylist? Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Not exactly who you'd picture handling such a valuable gem.
Right. And to make things even clearer, the consignment agreement was super specific. It said Kahn couldn't sell or get rid of the diamond without WGDC's permission, you know, like a signed invoice or something.
Yeah, seems pretty straightforward, like, don't sell this without our say-so.
Mm.
So how did the diamond end up elsewhere?
Well, despite the agreement, Kahn didn't return the diamond. Years go by, and then the same diamond pops up with a different diamond merchant.
Okay, so it changed hands, but we don't know how just yet.
Right. And from there, it was bought by the Walshes. They then gifted it to their kids, the Zaretskys, who end up being the plaintiffs in this whole case.
The plaintiffs, so they're the ones suing.
Exactly.
And if I'm following correctly, the Zaretskys tried to insure the diamond, and that's when things get really interesting, right?
You got it. Fast forward to 2012. The Zaretskys, they want to insure this diamond. But during that process, someone recognizes it. It's the same diamond WGDC consigned to Kahn all those years ago.
Oh, wow. So the past is catching up to them.
Big time. WGDC naturally says, hey, Kahn wasn't allowed to sell that. He basically stole it, and we're the rightful owners.
Makes sense. So what was the Zaretskys' response? What was their legal argument for claiming they owned the diamond?
Their main argument was based on the idea that even if Kahn messed up, even if he wasn't supposed to sell the diamond, he was still a merchant under the UCC, the Uniform Commercial Code.
The UCC. Law school flashbacks. But yeah. Seriously, the UCC is a big deal in commercial law.
Absolutely foundational. And the Zaretskys were focusing on this concept of voidable title under the UCC. Their argument was that even though Kahn messed up, he might have had this voidable title that allowed him to transfer good title to someone who bought it in good faith, meaning someone who didn't know about the whole no-selling thing.
Voidable title. Good faith purchaser. We're getting into some legal weeds here, but it's important stuff.
It is. And to make things even more complicated, the Zaretskys initially won in the district court. They got what's called a summary judgment in their favor.
Hold on. Summary judgment for our listeners who might not be familiar with legal jargon. Could you explain that a bit?
Sure thing. Summary judgment is basically when a court says, look, there's no real dispute about the key facts here, and based on the law, one side clearly wins.
Okay, so the district court felt the facts were clear, and the Zaretskys were in the right, at least initially.
Exactly. The district court said Kahn qualified as a merchant under the UCC, and that was that. Case closed, or so they thought.
But that wasn't the end, was it?
Nope.
WGDC appealed the decision, and the case went up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals.
The plot thickens.
And that's where our deep dive gets really, really interesting, because the Second Circuit reversed the lower court's ruling.
Reversed it? Wow, okay. So what was the Second Circuit's reasoning? How do they interpret the UCC differently than the district court?
That's the million-dollar question. The Second Circuit, they zeroed in on this specific section of the UCC. 2403. It deals with whether a merchant who's been entrusted with goods can transfer the owner's rights to a buyer And here, they started to unpack whether Khan met the definition of a merchant in the first place.
Okay, so they're questioning whether Khan was even a merchant in the legal sense of the word.
Exactly. It all comes down to how you define merchant. You see, the UCC has a couple of definitions. There's a general definition of a merchant in 210 Force 1, which basically says a merchant is someone who deals in goods of the kind, or even if they don't sell them all the time, they know a lot about them.
Okay, so someone with specialized knowledge, even if they don't sell those things regularly, could be considered a merchant under that broader definition.
Right, but then you have 24032, which is what the Zaretskys were hanging their hats on. It talks about a merchant who deals in goods of that kind, not just any merchant, but one who specifically deals in the kind of goods involved.
That added phrase, who deals in goods of that kind, sounds pretty crucial.
It is. And the Second Circuit said the lower court messed up by not paying enough attention to that distinction. They said, look, just because Khan might have known a thing or two about jewelry or diamonds, that doesn't automatically make him a merchant who deals in goods of that kind.
So what does it mean to deal in goods of that kind in the eyes of the law? What did the Second Circuit say about that?
They said it means you regularly engage in selling those types of goods. And with Khan, there was no proof he was in the business of routinely selling diamonds or anything like that. He styled clothes. He didn't buy and sell precious gems.
I'm starting to see why the Second Circuit reversed the decision. It's about more than just having some knowledge. It's about being in the business of buying and selling those specific goods.
You got it. The court basically said, to trigger this part of the UCC, you gotta be a regular in that market, not just a knowledgeable outsider.
Okay, so the Zaretsky's argument about Khan being a merchant who deals in goods of that kind didn't fly with the Second Circuit. But what about their other argument, the one about voidable title? How did the court address that?
Yeah, the Zaretsky's also tried to say that the original consignment to Khan was like a transaction of purchase that gave him this voidable title, which he could then pass along to others.
So their logic was that even though the diamond wasn't sold to Khan outright, the act of giving it to him created a kind of title he could then transfer.
Exactly. But the Second Circuit shot that down pretty quickly. They said a consignment is not a sale. WGDC never sold the diamond to Khan. They just gave it to him to show around with clear instructions not to sell it without their permission.
Right, because in a consignment, the owner still technically owns the goods. They're just letting someone else handle them temporarily.
Exactly. And since there wasn't a sale, Khan never even got voidable title in the first place. It's like the court drew a clear line. A consignment is different from a sale.
So essentially, Khan never had the right to sell the diamond. And he didn't gain some special right just because WGDC entrusted him with it.
Precisely. He was just holding it, not owning it, and he wasn't a regular diamond dealer. So the UCC provisions that might protect buyers from those types of dealers didn't apply either.
This case is a gold mine for understanding the nuances of the UCC and commercial law in general. It really highlights how crucial the specific language of the law is. You know, the word merchant has different meanings depending on where you find it in the UCC.
Absolutely. And for law students especially, this case is a masterclass in statutory interpretation. You got to pay attention to those details. It's not just about memorizing terms. It's about understanding how they function in different legal contexts.
It's like, yeah, you got to know the rules of the game, but you also got to know how to play strategically.
That's a great way to put it.
This case also highlights the balance courts try to strike. They want to protect the original owners of property, but also make sure commercial transactions can happen smoothly.
Right. It's about fairness, but also practicality. You want to protect people from getting ripped off, but you also don't want to bog down commerce with so many rules that nothing gets done.
Makes sense. So before we wrap up our deep dive, any final thoughts or questions for our listeners? Something that'll really make them think about the implications of this case?
Definitely. You know, the courts focus on regular sales as the key factor for this particular UCC provision. It makes you wonder how this would apply to online marketplaces, especially with all the buying and selling happening online.
Well, that's a great point. Like, what about someone who sells vintage records online regularly, even if it's not their main job? Would they be considered a merchant who deals in goods of that kind?
Right. And how do we balance protecting the original owners of goods with making sure online transactions can happen smoothly and securely? There are a lot of legal and policy questions to consider as our economy keeps changing.
Tons of food for thought there. Thanks for taking us on this deep dive. It was a really fascinating case.
Yeah.
And to all our listeners, keep those legal brains engaged, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive.
See you next time.